Hello, patrons. Welcome to a little bit of a post show. It's been, I don't know, it's been a week since Scott's been at the house, I guess, a couple days.
Feels like it was just yesterday, JD.
Yeah. You were here for, I guess, this time last week. We're recording this on Wednesday when you were here, or last week, that is. Anyways,
yep.
We want to talk a little bit about the production side of things. One of the reasons that you're not here and we didn't record this with you here at the house is now that we own everything, there's no packing stuff up, and you were gone Saturday.
Sunday.
Yeah, which was nice.
The show was Saturday. Yeah. Usually I stay that whole next day, pack stuff up, we jib-jab, we film stuff, and then I leave on that Monday. So I was able to basically just turn it all off, get some records to you, and then I was out of there.
Yeah.
So we didn't have time. We didn't really have time to actually to film this.
Yeah, I mean, if Zeke would have made his flight, everyone would have been gone Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is
out.
Yeah.
And that's his fault. Trip. It wasn't like any sort of production fault.
Right. Yeah.
Show fault.
Yeah. So I think the major goal of this is kind of like we've done in the past. Just kind of talk about the show. You know, from beginning the beginning load in, which was really a set build this time because we're not loading out ever again. Now that it's all in there. And then talk about some of the stuff that potentially didn't go so well during the show, stuff that did go well, and also just kind of future purchases or future changes that we might do down the line. So starting off, I think you made some comparisons last week about how you know, leading into the show, we wouldn't be as good as our last show, but we'd be better than our first show. And I think that was kind of a good way to encapsulate everything that that went on. I think ultimately Thursday-ish, I was kind of feeling the heat in terms of just getting everything ready to go for Saturday. But you know, it came together. Like as soon as we got kind of the front of that set dressed on Friday night and did that test stream, I felt pretty good. I was Saturday morning. I was not normally the stressful wreck that I usually have been in the past. I don't know if that's the same for you or how you were handling kind of everything, because it was a lot to do in that first week.
It was definitely I was feeling some heat, but again, I think it turned out actually kind of like I said, better than our first, but maybe not as tight or as perfect as our last. And when I meant that, like, that's everything from the audio to the white balance of the cameras to the switching. I think the show itself, once you all got rolling, Alchemist and I got rolling, so the show, I think, was very, very normal, very, very well done in that sense. Especially once we got through the first hour and we got everyone's mics kind of figured out and settled. So maybe even, again, I don't know.
It's hard to really say.
As good as our last, but definitely better than I expected, really. I thought more would go maybe wrong, but the fact that you do own the place, we wired in once, it's not rental gear. I had been there several times prior, slowly turning things on and wiring things and making sure that this works. And kind of in an order of, okay, what stuff do we need to get done to figure out what we need to order? So if we don't have it, we get it in time of the show, right? And that all worked out pretty well. Like all our mad scientist plans of stuff wiring up worked. And now, like you said, now we'll tweak stuff, we'll mess with stuff. I think, again, at the end of the day, I think it actually went, like I said, better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
I was a little more nervous about the production or something going wrong, right? And really, nothing did. You know, the best compliment is when, you know, I'm watching chat and all they're doing is, you know, bouncing off of what you're all doing.
Right. They're nothing invested in the content.
Nothing to do with production, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. And if anything, it's if I do happen to do a cool zoom to the dice or whatever, they might go, "Oh, cool zoom!" But literally, they're quiet when it, you know. Whereas the night before, they're all talking to me, right? Because they're helping me, you know. So when that goes away, like we can actually sit and listen and enjoy. It's like okay. And then every so often, Max is too soft. JP's a little muffled. You know, we see a little comment every so often. Again, I say that every time. It's the best thing about being able to produce and direct and run a show on a platform where you have a chat, right? Versus the old days where you just kind of threw it out there. And certainly TV doesn't even have that kind of feedback really, right? Where live sports and stuff. So to your point, I think what's I got through that Friday night stream, and okay, the stream worked. We had a sync issue. We synced it.
Which was weird, then, by the way. I still...
Yeah, because then it went away, yeah. And then I had to add it back a different way. Like, I don't know.
The sync issue was bizarre. I couldn't wrap my head around that in the moment, and I still don't understand why.
I still don't understand either.
Nothing changed.
And what I think might have happened is, you know, because sometimes Twitch gets fucked up,
yeah.
And you can fix something on your end that then is right, but then when Twitch gets fixed, you're fucked, right? And I don't know the nuances of that, but like if you set a delay to deal with a Twitch encode ingest delay to catch things up, and then you wake up the next morning and they fixed whatever that was in whatever server you're messing with, where you're ingesting to, then maybe that number changes, right?
Yeah.
Because that happens every so often, right? Show before, we had no... Like, it was perfect. The TriCaster was perfect. This one, we had a weird one. Then it went away. That so, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, again, generally, it really, after that first hour of just a few issues, and it really nothing like, oh, stop what you're doing. Like, it's actually, in that sense, very, very production technical issue light. Like, we didn't really have any.
Yeah.
That weren't fixable once we got rolling, which is cool, you know. Again, thankfully, because as you know, all new gear, still really learning it all. Like, turned that mixer on a couple days before, didn't even like that thing isn't even being used yet.
It's right? Not even dialed. Yeah,
we barely scratched the surface.
We plugged
of that
in
mixer.
Some microphones and said, "Hey, we can hear that."
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. And then Alchemist during the show was figuring out how to adjust mics, right? More than the basic gain and stuff, right? And because we didn't really have solid compression going, and we didn't really, everyone was all right, but like ideally you want to compress, you want to peak, you want to set everyone perfectly, so we just didn't really get there, right?
Yeah.
Next time I will have more time before I even get there to read a lot more about that mixer, whereas that was like, I'll get to it. It was like, again, for me it was the same kind of load in, but it was the first and final load in of all the gear, right? Whereas a lot of that would have been rental gear. So yeah, and again, I think next time, even easier. Probably still coming a couple days early to tweak some stuff, but now it's tweaking. We got cameras pretty good in the white balance, color shading kind of thing. Could be tweaked a little more.
Probably some sort of, we talked about it a little bit on Court of Swords Live, but the light setup this time around was much different than we've done in the past with the Chinese ball.
Drastically drum different. The Chinese drum system, yeah. Which is basically a the Chinese drum idea is based off a Chinese lantern idea, which is a paper lantern, right? That illuminates all around it with a candle or whatever. So in production, and I never knew it was called this, but basically, you know, you have your standard soft boxes, which are like a square. It's like an umbrella kind of with a front, and the soft box pushes all the light in one spot. Well, this thing wraps an LED panel of light, a bendable panel of light into a cone, if you will, or a tube, and then this thing hangs around. I don't know if you took any photos of it, or you will.
I didn't. I can probably pull something up.
So it basically hangs like a big old paper lantern, but it's production quality and production lighting. It's, you know, it's the proper color temperatures. And it's really meant to sit, as we found out kind of after we bought it, it's really meant to sit smack dab above you guys, like kind of where the dice camera is, because then it hits you perfectly in the face, it hits everyone perfectly in the face, right? Kind of over a conference table or... that kind of set, if you will. And we couldn't really do that because the camera's there and that would be too low, and the ice camera would be in the way, and the main camera would see the butt of it hanging down. It would be too close because you don't have a whole lot of ceiling.
Yeah.
So we had to move it forward. So it ended up being a very solid, like, two-thirds front light, but then, and not as bad as before, but, like, you still had a little bit of shadow on your sides when you guys turned away.
Yeah.
But not as harsh as the old shows, right? I don't think. It was a softer shadow because of that light source. And, I mean, you could speak to it better than me, but just being the one going in and out of the room, way softer light, like way less harsh.
Well,
having to deal with it.
I think that there's other reasons to facilitate what I'm about to say, but I think it was a factor with that light not being so bright. The five of us, and especially Adam, because these a lot of what I'm about to say are his words, it felt like we were playing D&D at a table. We weren't being recorded. Like, we were able to just focus on, you know, the game and have a good time. We weren't we weren't able to see, you know, you switching stuff because we have that wall now. We weren't able to hear a lot of the stuff. We'd hear side conversations every once in a while, but it's nothing that we could make out what was being said, and also distracting enough to be distracted. And I, to credit that light, it didn't feel like we were in a studio. We felt like we were just playing D&D, you know, on a Saturday at someone's house on a big table. And I think that's kind of the goal, right? At the end of the day,
it's to, like, we disappeared.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, right? Because the nature of this room versus being in your kitchen, looking right at you all in the U shape of those bookcases was kind of aimed right at me.
Yeah.
And like it was a set. It was a set in the house, right? Yep. Whereas this is like a room in your house, but purposely built, right? So you guys went in there. We didn't shut the door. We didn't need to. It's very hard for me to distract you all.
Yeah.
Because there is a window, but it's not like if Alchemist, like we would have had to have been, other than our voices, visually been very hard to distract you all in your little world. So that's great to hear, because that's exactly what you want. You want that to disappear, right? And I noticed it. Kind of more subliminally, in the sense that, because we've talked about it in the past, how some cast members spend too much time looking at the monitor and the cameras, and maybe like breaking the wall sometimes if they know they're on camera, they'll be like,
"Yeah, the Jesse Cox effect, as we call it."
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, different people do different things, you know, when they're on camera. No offense to Jesse or anyone else; he's not the only one. You can't throw him under the bus like that. But I think to your point, being that it was there, but not really like you're not focused on it. You're not focused on the set in front of you, in the center of the lights and the cameras. You all weren't really even looking that way that much, to the point where I got kind of mad at you, right? Because what I always want you all to do is kind of look at the program monitor. They now have a big ass like 50-inch. What is that thing you bought? That TV?
It's like a 50-inch, just 4K plasma.
Big TV, basically, right below their main camera, so they can look and see what's on screen, whether it's a graphic or it's them or commercial, whatever. And so we always kind of say, before you roll, pick up your dice, start talking about rolling, but then kind of look at the stand to see if I've got the dice camera there yet.
Yeah.
If not, kind of wait for me if you can. And I think you guys kind of, so to your point, so forgot that you really were in a show, that you all weren't really doing that like you used to do that, right? And that's what you used to do.
It was definitely faster rolls. I also think more than any other show, we had the most rolls per person.
Yeah, you guys were busy.
We rolled a lot this episode.
You had some good sections of like dice action this time.
Yeah.
Like the show before, I think, was actually really dice light, if I recall. Very narrative. You've got a couple very narrative shows over these live lives. And this one was definitely a lot of rolling. And just figuring out who's going to go first and all that. It didn't miss very many. I told chat that I get 10 oopses all day, and I think I hit 6.
Okay.
Between, like, taking a dice care if no one rolled, or being on Maxi if you're talking, or something weird like that.
I mean,
you know, Maxi, Gassy.
There was a couple times, too, where Adam would say, all right, Zeke, why don't you go ahead and roll something? Mm. And then we would say something, and you'd have it set up on the dice cam, and Adam's like, actually, wait, let's go ahead and do something else. And I couldn't see you.
I try to be preactive, right? Yeah, I'm trying to be ahead of that, right? But so I listened to your own narratives. Like, okay, can I roll for,
give an insight check or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So who said that? Dan said that. Okay, let me at least get prepped in case that happens, right?
Yeah.
Because you kind of have your battle sequences, but then you've got that kind of stuff that happens a little out of sequence, if you will. But again, I think it was just as good as all the other shows in that sense. I think one of the big things is, like, good and bad is you own these cameras, right? They are your cameras. They worked great. The dice camera worked just like the old dice camera, in the sense of, like, all those presets were fine. They are a little lesser quality. They are not as expensive. They are drastically not as expensive, right? That's not a bad thing. That's just a thing. You could have spent $50,000 on your 4 cameras, right? Easily, if we wanted to buy what we rented.
Basically, what we bought was the cost of about one of the Panasonics, roughly.
Yes. You mean camera-wise. Yeah.
Four cameras
to one camera.
Yeah.
And the plan is for you to eventually upgrade to the nicer ones, but they're still being actually made, the newer ones we want. And that'll give you some time to get our legs going with this studio, because I think your long-term goal is to 4K at all. These are 4K. That might be a while.
Yeah.
But so point being, they all performed the same, right? In the sense of like what the audience saw, my two shot, my one shot. They're not as crisp, I don't think. They need probably even a little bit more light, maybe, to make up for the fact that their lenses aren't as beefy as those Panasonics. But I think for the show, again, didn't see any complaints. No one didn't like the look. We all liked the look. So I think even the difference, they're both 1080-60, right? It's that where it comes into play more is the tuning that I can do to the camera, right?
Right.
More limited tuning on these NDI cameras than on those Panasonics control-wise, right? So just like the first time we did the Panasonics, our white balance was shit. The second time it was better. The third time it was better. I guess figuring out how to dial the cameras in to the light we were using. So this one was my first time dialing these cameras in. And I think by the end we got pretty good.
Yeah.
But probably when I come back, I'm going to do more research. They keep doing firmware updates on these cameras because they're brand goddamn new. So hopefully that'll help. The focus is the one issue, right? Because
yeah, I never actually asked you about that. That was...
The focus is challenging.
There was a focus on a dice roll or something on our side.
It went out of focus, and then there's no easy autofocus on these. Isn't the greatest for what we're doing because there's so many different levels of distance, kind of in that same shot. And again, size of camera, price of camera, right? Panasonic can handle that better, right?
Yeah.
Or a more expensive camera. And I'm not knocking your cameras, right? This is my suggestion.
Right. For
the price of what you wanted to open, and we opened great. So, but point being, focus is one of them, right? So, and there's no one's made the perfect controller to drive these things yet, where Panasonic makes a really nice controller for their own cameras that when you have to go to manual mode, it's got a fucking dial, right?
Yeah.
So you know you're in manual mode, and you just go, and you're fixed, right? This one is web-based control. So I have to click on a web window to get
using
on this camera.
And then
I can use the up and down page up to start the process. But like if you watch me do it, like the minute you hit the button, it unfocuses it. And it's like, ah, fuck! Then you got to find the focus. So there's no real easy dial in. If you turn autofocus on, it'll focus you right up. But then if you turn autofocus off, it'll sometimes unfocus you again. Sometimes it'll leave it, sometimes it won't. So it's really inconsistent. And it's one of the things that they're talking about in the forums. They're patching it. It's meant to be kind of locked in, focus it perfectly, save your preset, because they'll do different focuses for different presets. So that's what I ended up doing. But when they would get out of focus, just the act of like, okay, I got to get on this camera. I can't be on program. How do I focus? Like live during the show. Whereas the Panasonics, I would just go, okay, this camera, focus, turn the knob. So much easier. So now I need to do some research on like some controllers for these, right?
We had found one,
but they're back ordered and they're not easy to get because again everyone's buying these now and trying to figure out how to control them. But really versatile once you figure it all out, like how the presets worked and the TriCaster, like again everything bound to a couple stream decks, all my presets. So like when it does work, like what I could do with this camera, I couldn't do with those Panasonics in the sense of that stream deck, right? And having all the presets. Like I hit a button, it went to your dice. It went hit another button, it went to Adam's dice. So once I was rolling with all that, because that's stored in the TriCaster, it's a keyboard shortcut that any macro program can read, so ergo stream deck can read it, worked really, really well.
Yeah.
It probably need more buttons actually to be even cooler. We might need to get to the X keys and get away. Just go to X keys maybe and get away from a stream deck.
Yeah.
The buttons are neat and cool, but you don't necessarily need the light ups for what we're doing. Anyway, long rant on the cameras. But again, I think next time I come, like I have one too, right? And so even bringing it home and setting it up, like I've adjusted it better now than it was before I brought it because I had to auto this on and auto that on here at home, right? So. I mean, you've adjusted your camera since the last time I gave you shit on your own stream.
Yeah.
Your new
camera,
I
went and
right?
bought one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But like the first day you had it going.
Oh yeah. That was plugged in and auto.
So it's figuring out all those little like, okay, for this color of light and what we're doing this tweak. Again, like one of the brainstorms we had was I kept trying to zoom in on a really dark dice box. For years, actually, now, right? In retrospect. So I fixed it at your old place by shining a bunch of white light down off your balcony to light the table, to light the dice boxes, so I could see those dice.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have that light ability to give more light down there without screwing the actual TV up, too much light on the TV. So I came up with that idea of putting the ivory felt on the dice box, because when you zoom on it, it helps the camera give it light, right? Because it's not black on black dice. So
yeah.
Why didn't I think of that like 5 shows ago? Like stupid shit like that. So now we're making really nice boxes in a different color, right? To
yep.
to not be so jerry-rigged. So so things like that. You know, you've got the moving track. We've got a couple moving tracks for our lights and our cameras in the ceiling. Again, since you own this place now, you can permanently attach shit, right? Which is awesome. So, you know, we figured out how to attach one of these cameras to a tripod-y, well, a monopod-y stable thing to then hook it to the track so we can move it up and down and then all around, and it worked out great. It's a little wobbly, so again, now that we got it up, it's me having some time at home to figure out, okay, now let me search and figure out the best components to actually build a bomber unit up there versus kind of a duct taped unit, if you will. But hey, yeah, man, no one saw it but us. So it
yeah,
worked.
We screwed into some leftover wood, and you know it worked out. Yeah. I was impressed that we MacGyvered that as fast as you did.
We tooled Tim. Yeah, you should be proud. That was some tool time right there.
That was
man.
Some good stuff. Yeah.
If
yeah.
we screw into this out. And bolt into this, we got a little loose at the end, but it worked.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
And again, the biggest guts of it, like obviously, like you bought a TriCaster, right? So you bought what we always rent. You bought what I then started bringing, the new TriCaster, the TC1, which is the state of the art switcher, 4K everything.
Yep.
NDI everything, or SDI if you want to bring SDI in. So it is kind of like your new. So you bought this huge video mixer and you bought this huge audio mixer. So I think those are your two big guts. You bought some decent cameras to get us up and running that have a good throw for the size of the room.
Yep.
And the cool thing about these cameras is you already multi-use them, right? Like the
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, they'll be repurposed. Also, if we take them yeah. from the set, we can use them in other parts of the
yeah.
house.
Yeah, like you use them as a cat camera. You know, you could take them upstairs. They're very versatile. Even when you start upgrading, I could see these cameras being those behind the scene cameras and being
oh,
other
yeah.
cameras, right?
100%.
That are part of the show.
Yeah,
they're NDI. They're beauty, right? So, so yeah, I think overall good stuff. No real complaints. Is it grinding up a week? You know. A little harder than probably the first, a little harder than the last show because that was dialed by then, right?
Right.
It was get the gear, wire, plug it in. I had brought my TriCaster. So this one was kind of getting your TriCaster up and running, getting the show in your system, getting all those cameras white balanced, lighting the room. You know, I spent a lot of time finishing that stuff, right? And less on the TriCaster because that's stuff I know the best, right? It was, okay, now I got to build the show. That was easy, you know, and the graphics. Came as always, and that show was very much similar to what we've done before. I think it's really cool that we've now figured out how to talk to, you know, graphics in the TriCaster can talk to
oh, right.
your cloud-based graphics, so no more me having to update a spreadsheet of what your health is, your armor
class.
Yeah,
that worked in real time, right? Like I think
it
I remember you
in real time,
up...
but I think it did lock up on like okay. some of the stuff. I think at the end, like Zeke leveled. But the level never showed at the very end
yeah.
of the show, right? He dinged, but it was actually cool. A couple times, like we got really good at watching you the most because you kind of towards the end of the show were losing your health the most because you were battling right there with the fire or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah,
and we got it to the point where we would bring up Alchemist would because he was kind of helping me with graphics, so I'd tell him to he'd bring it up as you were changing it. So because you'd have your battle, you would do all the stuff, and you'd realize, okay, I lost 21. And before you were going down, we'd see you on your tablet getting ready to change it. He'd bring up the old one. So then we'd know that you were changing
right.
it. So from 7-1 to whatever, live.
And I
right?
saw a little bit out of that, of my
yeah.
corner of my eye.
Happened a few times. So we're just starting to get the flow of it, like, okay, he's going to change. So bring it up now because it takes about 5 seconds for me to grab it, for it to get updated. So because then the audience can kind of see the was-is kind of the stat, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but it was good because again, the idea is that the data fields are the data fields in both spots, right? And between your guys working the web stuff, we just slightly tweak graphics, and I don't have to. I used to have to update a text file basically.
Yeah, that and monitor it yourself rather.
And then monitor it, and then I get nervous that. Fuck, did Gassy just lose 10? And I'd be like, break the way. Gassy, what's your HP? I'd wait for a break. You know, and now it's like, okay, well, I think it's accurate. You know, it's not accurate. It's broken for them too. So So that was cool. Because I think we can do a lot of, now that we have, we know how to do that,
yeah,
we can now really think about how to bring a lot more of your graphics in, right? In the sense of stats, in a more, I don't want to use the word permanent, but definitely a more branded way in certain maybe scenes, if you will.
Yeah.
So we can, because they're very used, we talked about this, they're very used to seeing your guys' stats on almost a constant basis on the live shows at home. When you guys are all at home, and we totally do the opposite when we're like, they see it like once an hour, maybe twice an hour.
Well, I think it's one of those things. And as someone who's spent a lot of time, like, you know, showing how to properly portray stats and whatnot,
don't know myself.
It's so much easier to do it when we're doing cameras like this, because they just go in the camera corners because you have so much extra real estate in these boxes. But, you know, if you're in person and you're sitting around a table, the table's kind of awkwardly shaped for graphics to pop up below the person, because then they're all angled awkwardly. But
yeah,
we talked about having some sort of graphic maybe pop up from the bottom below each player and seeing if that would work. So there's definitely things that could be done. But it is one of the most common questions, I think, when watching a D&D stream, is you want to know, what level is that person? How much HP do they have? What's their stats? What race are they? Just those are like the common questions to really get into it. And so we'll figure out, hopefully, in future shows, the best way to kind of give that information. It might just be the fact that, and we talked about this as well, that we put that in an extension. But then, you know, YouTube VODs are screwed because they can't get that. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think, and again, now that we've set up again, and we have a different look, a different wrap than we had before, but front is the same. Now we know that, right? Our front is roughly the same. We're gonna decorate the front, all, you know, differently, roughly each time, and, you know, depending on what Aaron wants to do with all of it each time. But I think we probably do investigate, like, on the wide shot, bringing up something from the bottom that comes to the top of the table, so it doesn't block anything but your roleplay logo,
right?
And it's your four boxes of data, right? And it comes up and doesn't go any higher, right? And then I can bring it up on a far more regular basis, right? Because other than that, because then I start jumping around depending on who's talking to who.
Yeah.
So then, like, to your point, if I'm on you and Dan, whose do I bring up? Where do I bring it up? When do I bring it up? But if I'm always bringing it up when I come to main once in a while as a constant reminder, and maybe we still have the lower third. So if you're mid-battle and it's knee-deep on you, then that one still works too. But I think the persistent, maybe not persistent, but if it comes up quite often, and you could probably do it where you kind of angled, so Zeke and Max and a logo in the middle, and, like, so kind of a perspective-based thing, and then you and then Dan. So the stats weren't flat. They were kind of – they looked 3D angled, so it wrapped like you are more, right? That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think even if you came straight up and you had something in the middle where Adam is, people would very quickly get that that's you. That's Dan, you know, that's Maxie. That's Max, that's Zeke.
We're just going to start calling him Maxie now.
Maxie, I like it. What the fuck? Where am I getting Maxie?
It's good.
Yeah, but again, I think now that we can feed that data, it's not like, oh, Jesus, JP, it's another thing I got to fucking figure out how to update live. That's just done for us, right?
It just updates,
yeah. I think we can explore that, yeah.
You just pull the graphic up, so.
Yeah, and I think what worked out also really well is we ended up using this new three shot a lot, which was like Adam and you two guys.
Yeah.
And it kind of used it a lot in the old shows, but more towards like the last one, because Adam's always talking to one side or the other, right?
Yeah.
And it used to always be, I'll show Dan and JP, but like you're doing this because you're looking at Adam.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, that's great when you're talking, but when you're listening. So now I can get both sides of the conversation without having to jump so much, right? And that stat, that screen works really good for bringing your stat lower third up, because a good chunk of it is just the table. So
right.
I don't block Adam. I don't block you. So we were using that a lot to sneak up, you know, whoever stats were apropos. I'd do Zeke, then we'd do Max, then we'd do you, then we'd do Dan. But it wasn't so tight and, like, kind of confining looking, because that's a big graphic, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of, I think that's kind of the next explored, or next territories we explore is you know, graphics and more information available to the viewer.
Yeah.
Now that we, you know, kind of have a pretty good base to work out of, to work from.
Because, you know, it's so funny, and we talk about it all the time, and it's no knock on anyone else doing your kind of content, But everybody else treats their live shows just like a different kind of web show. Like I was watching one today, not going to disclose what it was, but it was they were all in the same room. And again, GM cut out upper corner. One side of the table cut out here, other side cut out there, big logo in the bottom.
Yeah.
Never left the screens, never bounced, never went full cam. And I didn't watch for that long, so maybe they did, but in the chunk I was watching, I was like, that. I even saw some dice roll. No, didn't see anything. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Are you not wasting a little? And again, like it just seemed like, and we don't quite, but I think there's a fine line between both, right? I think we need more of the graphics you all do and more of the info you all give on a regular basis. But I like the fact that we bounce to like real live cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there's the whole table. And there's you. And there, you know.
It's a production rather than static cameras. Yeah.
Like we joked about it. If I ever had time, I would have done it. We joked about I was going to cut everybody out and I was going to take JP's standard quarter swords graphic and I was going to put everybody in their seats, but because I can do that, I can manipulate kind of each camera. And I was going to basically lay it out as if it wasn't really live, right? And we were going to go live that way. And all of a sudden, that overlay was going to disappear, and then they would have been sitting at the big table. But
yeah, I still think that's a worthwhile.
That type of the fun stuff. Yeah. I think we will do that. And
I think it's a worthwhile goof. Especially,
it'll definitely be a next time we can do it, because we'll have time.
Yeah.
I'll have time to fuck with it and make the crops. And got to make basically another little scene to do it, but it shouldn't be an issue.
Without revealing what we talked about, so it's a surprise for patrons and viewers alike. The video that we talked about the week of leading into the live show, that's possible and very doable. I spoke with the animator. So we might do something along those lines, which would be pretty fun. So
that would be good. That'd be some good stuff.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So new audio mixer, like I said, I think our not hearing anything from any, and I didn't really listen to much. I didn't listen to Twitch, VODs. So
the
Twitch
VODs sounded fine.
Great.
A lot of the issues are basically I actually you'll be proud of me. I went over and rendered out the MP3 from the TriCaster and then edited that on a video.
Take the preset and did
So I'm working the TriCaster now, but So
it's growing up.
I think that's the biggest thing is getting we had multiple fail safes, but the Twitch VOD shouldn't be our like golden standard of quality when it comes to putting that up on the web. It should be a local record, probably on most likely on my setup, which I thought we had, and in doing so we had it the night prior. But then the next day when I like basically realized that my sub notifications, the noises were happening there.
You said something happened, but we didn't really get much.
Yeah. So the sub notifications were happening in that VOD. So I basically just like started a new, OBS, but there's two different, there's OBS scenes and there's OBS profiles. I started a new profile and that rebooted literally everything in OBS.
So default, right?
Yeah, the video was like 2500 bit rate at like, I don't know, whatever the default resolution was. It was all fucked up. So what I did is took the recording video-wise on my end and then synced the audio from the TriCaster, which was a little bit blown out on the
video. Was it? Okay.
Yeah. And then synced that to the video and rendered it all together. And the sync actually worked. It was just a little tiny, tiny bit blown out. So...
So that's one of the things that we didn't get. I didn't get enough time to do enough probably record testing on that whole chain from mixer to TriCaster.
But I think that's something easy enough that
can
be fixed.
If it's blown out, I think we've had that problem before on the TriCaster, and I just had to tweak it. I probably just didn't get to it.
So that's something we'll do in the future as well. Even before
Now it's the little
before
the
show.
Things.
Like I'll be able to just load that stuff in. I also think this is more maybe behind the scenes than people care to hear about, but the file sharing stuff, I think it's because they're on two different routers.
Yeah.
So I think that there's some issues with that I need to investigate and see if we can just ping the IPs to get access to those files across the
network
and
all that crap. Yeah, in a perfect world, a nice media server that the whole house saw, that we could just throw things into a media server, right? So it'd be like, hey, throw it up to this drive. So it's not really it's not the gaming PC you're in front of, it's not the PC I'm in front of, it's somewhere where all the shit sits, right?
Yep.
And then, yeah, you just have to get the different parts of the house because you have these different networks going to communicate.
Yeah, I think if we put that like right off the actual router upstairs, then we should be able to see it all in theory. Yeah. So some to work on, some to think about. But
something like that. Talk to Aaron's bro.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get Aaron's bro to help us out
for a network.
For sure.
Yeah, because that'd be easy for file sharing stuff.
Yep. But yeah.
What else? Yeah, the room worked good. I mean, again, roughly the same size. Actually, a little more room for you guys.
A little more room because we weren't curved on the corners.
We weren't curved, so that was nice.
we were very comfortable, so comfortable that oftentimes you could hear Zeke's chair go. But he would scoot back, and I'd give him the death glare from across the table.
Yeah.
So, but we had a lot of room. I saw someone in the chat on the pre-stream on Friday, and they described the room as cozy, and I think that kind of fits that set. It's a cozy set, like
nice. It reminds me of this like cool wooden puzzle room thing. This vibe she did with the geodesic kind of triangle look. And again, it came together like the first couple of visits when it was being put up. I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure how it's going to stain. I'm not sure how it's going to look, but the colors you all finally decided to go with, and it's good, you know? And again, the cool thing about it at the end of the day is it's actually a skin on a new false wall. Right. So if you ever wanted to change it, if you ever wanted to do something different, that wood comes off and there's still like a theatrical base there to put whatever the hell you want on there. So
a lot of
wiggle room still to do different things in there, even though like that's a cool thing for now.
We were both saying that we'd have people that disliked it and people that liked it, et cetera. I didn't, in all the chats that I saw and all the comments that I got after the fact, not one of them said that, hey, this set doesn't look good. Like they all thought it looked really good. So I felt pretty good about that, because I was expecting
agreed.
A little
I
both.
Think we were probably far more critical of what your fans would think than they actually were, obviously, right?
Yeah.
I didn't read the feedback thread. I know you guys always do a feedback thread. Is that pretty obviously didn't come up, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. It was more like a post episode, but it wasn't a proper feedback thread. I don't think.
Gotcha.
But if
they wouldn't have liked it, they would have fed back on it.
They would have said,
"I want the bookcases. I want the bookcases." And I think again, they. If anything, I know I was kind of saying it as like a sarcastic joke with one of those nights that we were all together. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. It'll all just blend and you guys will be the focus. You're the story. But it does, right? It the old sets were very intricate, busy. They were very much part of the show.
A lot of things to look at. Yeah.
Very intentionally, though, right? It wasn't like it was an accident, right? And some more than others, depending on, you know, Aaron decided and what you all decided to like decorate wise. And this, again, it's a cool library, futuristic-y puzzle room that you all are playing this killer thing in. And I think far more versatile than a set of bookcases for one.
Oh, yeah.
In retrospect, I guess maybe we were a little too worried that people were like, where's the black IKEA bookcases? that would be an idiotic thing to want back, actually, probably, right?
Yeah.
Although
I wonder how many people, I wonder if people actually knew those were just from IKEA. Like I think some of the shows
they were very obvious, and some shows she totally covered them.
Yeah,
but a couple of the early shows where it's just stuff on the shelves.
Yeah, like bounce power stuff.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, probably some people were actually watching your show, going, "Oh yeah, I think that's the TAC model. I've got some right here. whatever model there." They're great shelves, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They served a great purpose.
They, you know, for you what know, they cost, now, they did a damn good job.
But that, you know, for role plays, temporary studios, they were great. But for studio role play, it must be much more.
You gotta be a little bit
much
more.
Much more, you know.
You gotta
je ne sais quoi with the studio role play. The smell of wood.
Yeah.
The smell of the grease paint is in the air.
I mean, there was some wood smell. There was some stain smell.
Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't that bad.
Buzzed those first couple days. I'm gonna lie, man. When I moved the piece you had just painted into the room where I was hanging out, that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
I was like, Aaron, you got me. I got a headache.
It was pretty strong.
This again. Yeah, it was strong.
It was pretty strong.
But it turned out good. I mean, again, like your carpenter all the stuff he did, the new front table mount thing, all nice and sturdy. Like,
yeah,
good load in. You know, excited to do the next show now, because now it'll be a lot more like, let's get creative. I can get some decent sleep. I mean, it's a grind, right? Because it's not even a negative. Like, it's just the kind of thing that you got to do by yourself, right? If I would have been in trouble, I would have asked you for help, or I would have asked Alchemist, hey, come over here. But just the nature of the things that I had to do, right?
Sure.
Like, can't make JP hang the camera. Well, I'm the one that has to go up there and fuck with it all day. So, like, I'll hang the camera, right? So
yeah,
it was just,
yeah.
But those were long days, right? Because you're on a deadline. But now that shit's all done. Now it's tweaking those things. So, like, my days at your house will be more manageable. That's just fine. It wasn't like a complaining. It all, like, again, just like every show got easier when we were renting gear. Now it'll all get easier because it's all just sitting there and we're tweaking different things, you know? I think the backstage area, the green room, that all turned out great. That actually worked great when those guys used it. Like, that downstairs is freaking, it turned out badass, man.
It really worked out. Really cool. It worked out a lot better than I had ever anticipated.
And I know you guys grinded like bastards for your part to get that ready too. I mean,
the week prior,
but like you had to get your house ready for this to happen, which was a sea of move boxes.
Yeah, I mean, you're the lone spirit that saw it a week prior. And there was a lot of stuff in the back rooms.
We
that got
should
shuffled
have taken
around.
A behind the scenes photo from that camera when it was a sea of boxes before you
I
moved
probably
all
have
back in.
One somewhere on my own phone.
Chaos. Man.
Yeah. It was.
But
nuts.
No, it was good. It turned out good. Good opening. You know, I hope you and Aaron are happy with it.
I think we both are. I think overall, like, very positive vibes coming out of that first show. Very, very little, if anything, went, you know, wrong. If anything, it's more just like tweaking, like you said. There's very little that went wrong. Besides maybe the VOD recording, but that's a simple fix. It's not like equipment failed or anything like that. It was just, I deleted the profile on OBS.
Yeah, you won't do that. It's one of those, I won't do that again.
Yeah, I will never do that again. Yeah. I had to rebuild that thing live on air on Monday when I started streaming and realized it. Yeah, so
right. That's, because you were like at 720 or some craziness.
Yeah, I was flipping the fuck out. It's one of the most annoying things when your stream is not what you were streaming at, you know, 3 days prior. So.
And the last time you had to adjust it was how long ago, right? Like, that's the thing. And that's the thing for me is, like, when we're
three
doing the OBS,
years?
I was like, wait, what is this setting doing? Can I
for once you dial that stuff
I haven't
in,
streamed
it's
in a year. So
yeah,
it's like, God damn it. Yeah. I think we want this at this. Yeah.
Yep. And, so.
But yeah. Good opening, I think. Good crew.
I think also
those guys are fun to be around.
We didn't mention it. We mentioned Alchemist by name, but not necessarily.
Oh, yeah.
Alchemist, I think, coming in there and helping us out, not only just, you know, to be there to push buttons, but I think you having an extra person, just for the sake of having an extra person in production row, made your day faster. It made it better. You had more fun. You had fun producing the show more so than
Absolutely.
Just being there by yourself. So, yeah, I think that was I think that's a happy accident for Alchemist to be there.
Yeah. And I think that's something I would probably try to do as often as possible.
Totally.
To all the things you said. And this very first show, the fact that he ran the board, like he ran audio, and then he actually did graphics. Like, again, with two stream decks, right? One was all the camera presets, and one was all the graphic presets. So once we got up and rolling, I handed him the other stream deck. And so I would take your shot and go, okay, give me Dan and JP. You go, all right, here it is.
Yeah.
All right, it's gone. All right, thank you. You know, we were communicating back and forth. And again, like, I would add a heart, and it's especially that first hour, because it's constantly adjusting the mics first, right? And it's my first jumping to all the cameras and bringing all the graphics up. So trying to do all that this first time by myself would have been, that hour would have been way more fucked up probably, right? I would have missed dice rolls and shit, because you guys are trying to roll dice, but then chat's going, Max is all fucked up, I can't hear him over here at the game control. I'm like, God, and that's what I used to do. Like, I'd have my hand over here on the switch and over here on the mixer going, okay, wait, what, they're not rolling, okay. And Alchemist just handled it. He put the better headset on, because we had two headsets, right? So he put the nice clothes on.
Yeah.
He could focus and listen, and I could watch the show and listen for what you all were doing to then move the cameras, right? Versus, so it was like one whole chunk of tech that I didn't have to fucking sweat. And you know, and that's how you get better audio, right? And once that board gets even better mixed in the sense of everyone's compressed individually and everyone's gain is tweaked better and all those highs and lows are tweaked, then that guy is like, he can ride the board nice, you know, because Max is like, he's a little tired, so he's not talking so loud. But you don't want to crank his gain because so you got to bring him up a little bit, but then he's going to wake up a little bit, got to bring him back down. So one guy to do that, it gets hard anyway, right? Because again, you have a show where we bounce a lot of cameras, right? If I had one, if we just sat again on crapped cameras or one big shot of the table, then I could sit there and just go, oh, Matt, of course, JP's talking, you know, and so we don't do that. Yeah. So yeah, and again, all those other things, having moral support. It's one of my best mates. Like we giggled. Right. Like what we were doing for you was literally what we were doing with you decades ago, decade plus ago, and what we were doing before we met you together for Gottfrag and stuff like that, right? At CPL. So it was really, really neat. Kind of like a what year? I even tweeted
full
like
circle
what
type
year?
Deal.
Like what fucking year is it? 2008. Yeah. Here I am sitting with Alchemist, two of us running a switch and an audio board. So yeah, it was cool. And again, I think very, very actually useful. Like it's cool. He was into it. Like,
oh yeah.
He was into the adventure. We were both listening, like what the fuck? Oh,
I
shit.
Caught a little bit of him, talking to Adam after the show and just kind of just being like, you know, man, what you're really something, Adam. Like I'm sitting over here, like getting really into the show. I was like, all right, that's cool. Like, that's cool. That one, he's into it. And two, that Adam's getting that type of feedback.
Yeah. Adam, different. Like, you know, I don't watch a whole lot of the genre, but like Adam, again, as he even says himself, he paints a very theatrical movie-like narrative in the way he does stuff. And it comes through, right? So if you're a production guy, like Alchemist wants to soundboard, like Adam, all these ideas. I'm like, I already talked to him a year ago about that. Not gonna happen, man. It ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
You need to clone Adam to know when the music, what right? He needs to, you can't just play the music. It's got to be the music.
Yeah.
Right. So, because you know, to those at home, Alchemists, you know, a couple times, like prime example, you guys were doing something, and Adam said, "Yeah," and it's almost like you can hear the Conan march music in the background, the Conan the Barbarian march music, and so Alchemist is like, and I could play that right now, right? And then a low bed. He's like, I could bring up music right now. And I'm like, no, you can't just bring up the random music we have playing that's like JP roleplay music. Like, Adam will lose his shit if he finds out we're stepping into his world. Because you can't hear it, for one. So you wouldn't know that we were theatrically adding a bed.
Right.
But to add to Alchemist's point, like, if you were in tune and you had meetings and your GM, DM could organize your pathways enough that you could produce content to go with it, that would be neat, right? Whether it, like, you kind of do it with maps and stuff, but what if you did it with music? What if you did it with ambient sound? And you know, you're by a river, you're by a brook, and Adam said we might go there, and Adam said if we go there, we can bring up the brook sound. You know, you'd want, Adam is the director, right? That's my point about the movie thing. So you can't enhance his movie without him telling you what to enhance. And Adam, and I talked to that afterwards, like, you would play the wrong march music, right? So you would have to be that scripted, and I don't know if we could be that scripted.
I don't,
But that's what Alchemist's mind was, like, you could bring this up, you could bring that up, and of course, we've already talked about that stuff, like, you're in a lava cave, and the lights turn red, and like, but do you want to theater it, or are you at a table having the adventure, right?
So, yeah, because I think...
Fog machine!
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, and not to get too, like, esoteric, but a lot of people have that in their brain. Like they're picturing whatever Adam, like oftentimes, I don't know if it was ever on film, but oftentimes when we're playing from home, and like, what we're doing right now, on Court of Swords, and Adam starts describing something, Zeke will actually just close his eyes and he's sitting there just like getting the mental image. And I don't know if that happened during the live show, but I think that's what a lot of viewers do as well. And so if you were to start stepping into that, it might kind of throw some people off.
Yeah, it helps define Adam's vision. And Adam is like, I hate when I watch other streams and there's a better music. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It distracts me. So he's not going to want that in the production he's involved in, right? So, okay, so throw that out the window. Yeah. But that's the I just talking about Alchemist. Like, he was geeked.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he was he was super into
this, we could do that, you know? And, like, and he was into the adventure, right? So it was cool.
From you know, someone that kind of, I guess, dictates the brand or whatever. That's what, you know, those are the people you want working and doing production for you, the people that care, the people that are interested in that type of stuff. So,
yeah, you know, and Adam's willing to listen to ideas, you know, and I bet there probably is. There probably is an area there that we could explore together of enhancement.
We'd
have to figure out what exactly it is and what it goes with and when it's used and when it's. It can never be gimmicky, right? It can never be for the wrong reasons.
You can't
reasons,
hit thunderbolts every once in a while. When can you hear thunder start?
You know, and maybe it has. Maybe it's a one shot. Maybe it's something geared more towards a one shot. So it's really. Yeah. Because you can't do one court of sword. Like, it would be weird to do one episode in a different way than you do your, like, it's a long ass show. But maybe for a one shot where he's got a mindset of 8 hours, he's got a plan for, you could map out those things. And maybe it's not worthwhile. Maybe it is. You know, maybe the audience at home goes, turn that shit off. I don't want that crap either. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not a big enough fan of it to say if I like it or don't like it. Right. I know when I'm watching esports and they're talking at the analyst desk and they bring up the fucking
game noise,
background sportsy music, I fucking hate. I'm like, just turn that fucking better music off, man. I'm trying to listen.
But I also think,
no, man.
For those guys, most of them wearing headsets, and they start hearing that stuff, it throws them off, right?
Yeah, like, it's like, what the fuck?
It's like, why the fuck am I hearing
music? Am I wrapping me up? Wait. Okay, yeah. I like to think of the Academy, and but they think they're helping with the white noise, and it's because when they don't talk, it's quiet. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine to have pause.
There can be pauses. Pause, especially a show, you know,
that's
meant to be people pondering and fucking absorbing, losing their souls and getting them back and stuff. So.
Yeah,
but it was cool. Yeah, so I will always push for that. Like, now, since Alchemist lives in your town, I will always be like, all right, if you're going to do a show this weekend, let's make sure let's see if Alchemist can do it too.
Let's see if he can line up.
And as we even talked about, he might even become a resource for you to do other stuff there because he lives there and I don't, right?
So. Yeah, if he goes out for some esports gigs, just call him up and say, hey, make sure that you don't book him for that.
yeah, that's why you got to book your stuff early.
Yeah.
Act now.
get it penciled.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that mixer, again, one of the reasons you bought it was because we didn't know if we'd have an extra. Well, we didn't. We weren't gonna have an extra. And it's all pre-programmed. Again, something we didn't quite get to, but it's all got presets, right? So literally, even other than him writing your volumes when you guys were live, like. He would hit a mute button to mute you all. He'd hit a button to unmute all the music, and it was perfect. Like, the new system was so much easier than the old mixer, and now it's just really tweaking it, right? So, good. Again, your audience invested well, and you invested well in the gear. So, the very future proof with your audio and your video, I think.
Pretty happy with
you're
it.
You're gonna outgrow your space, probably, is what you're gonna do.
I would think that's probably what's gonna happen first.
You
know. Yeah, I mean, we got all that that storage space. We just got to cut into it properly and see how it goes. So, but I think for a year, maybe 2 year and a half.
Oh yeah,
we're good.
Yeah. You could definitely crank a couple shows out of there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the first show from Studio Roleplay. Consider it wrapped, I guess. We're good. We're done. We'll move on to the next one and figure out. Yeah,
we need
a block. We need a block.
We need one of those.
yeah.
That'll be a new thing. Adam gets to hold up instead of clapping. We'll have him do the.
Get him a little chop block thing. Stop block. Yeah. That'd be good. We'll figure out when we're going to do the next one. Hopefully sooner than later. Definitely faster than last year. We're not going to. Do a show in February, then have me move a week later, then build a studio for 10 months. And we could fire it up and, you know, do that same show if everyone was here tomorrow for the most part. Like, all that stuff is saved.
Just need fresh graphics, really.
Yeah. And,
if same characters.
If it's same characters, that
same
stuff
graphics,
updates.
Yeah. like, literally, they can all show back up.
Yeah.
Wire it up and away we go.
Yeah. So
good stuff.
That's it. We're done. If you guys have questions or anything, feel free to post them down in the comments. If you have questions for Scott, tweet them at him. I'm not sure if Scott wants to jump into the Patreon stuff, but he'll definitely read his Twitter. So you can always ask him questions over there at right below him over there /Sir Scoots. Just go check it out.
For sure.
And look for Scoots After Dark. coming to a stream near you in 2019.
2019, we're coming back strong. I signed up with this small streamer company that helps small streamers.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. I've been seeing those guys making waves on Twitter the past couple of days.
That's fun stuff. Helping everybody.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys once again. I said this on the live show proper, but everything we just talked about, studio equipment, all that stuff was because of you guys and your support. So we do appreciate it. Me and Adam will be getting a Patreon Year 3 update probably in the next week or so. I just got to get that video edited and put it out to you guys. So look forward to that. And then just more stuff, more behind the scene videos, more MP3s, more live shows, and whatever else we decide to do in 2019. So that's it for now. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.